This is our third Vesper during this Vesper season of Advent. And we are considering songs we know by heart. Songs that mean a great deal to us during this wonderful time of year. The first week, Joy to the World, an English song. And then last week, the first Noel, some 250 years earlier than this psalm we're going to look at tonight. And tonight, an American carol. Philip Brooks. He lived, born in 1835, died in 1893. He was an Episcopal rector at Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia. He was a very imposing and brilliant preacher and well known in his preaching career in Philadelphia. He was 6'4". He was an impressive and amazing man. In 1865, just as the war between the states was coming to its close, that harrowing experience in American history, Phillips Brooks was in Jerusalem, and he rode a horse from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's about an 8-mile, 9-mile ride. And while he rode his horse to Bethlehem, 1865, he wrote a poem and thought of a poem, and then probably wrote it when he got to Bethlehem, and wrote a poem which became one of our very favorite of all Christmas carols, and it is an American carol. And it's his poem, O Little Town of Bethlehem. His heart was probably heavy when he wrote this, and we'll sense it as we hear these texts. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, and the war between the states was just drawing to its close, and the country was weary and devastated. And he had on his heart this wounded America, his own country, and yet now he's many miles away. He had the privilege of taking this trip, and he's many miles away, and he's riding on his horse to Bethlehem, and this song comes to his mind. Let me read it to you now. Listen to it that way. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth. You've got to remember that in 1865, a village would not have many lights. It's not like now. There would be very few lights. And in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. It's interesting, isn't it, how the first Noel was totally focused on light. That very old English carol. The light first that the shepherd saw out in the field at night, first of all, totally frightened them, because suddenly they have this light appear, and then the angel comforting them and saying, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of a great joy. And then the light immediately in first coat Noel shifts to the light of the stars, of the star that led the wise men to find Jesus, the light that shows the way. First the light that comforts, scares and comforts the shepherds, and then the light that shows the way. Notice also in Philip Brooks's poem, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the interesting role that light plays. So yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And I'm wondering what was going through his heart when he wrote that. He said, when you, little Bethlehem, first experienced a radical interruption in your life, there was a mixture of hopes and fears. The hope of Messiah, the yearning for the coming of Messiah, and at the same time, the fear of the oppressive control of the Roman Empire over that little village. And so maybe in his heart, He is thinking of his own country and the mixture again of hope now that peace has finally settled and the war between the states is over, hope, but also fears. They're met together. I think that's a profound line in the poetry. They're met together. They were met together in Bethlehem. And I'm wondering if Philip Brooks is not thinking that they're met together in his own heart as he writes it. And now the poem continues. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, notice the same interest in light, they proclaim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. And of course, he is thinking both of the star that led the wise men to find Jesus, but also and primarily the wonderful light that the angels brought to these shepherds at night and sang this wonderful carol to them. So notice that in the song now, he goes back to that evening when the first announcement was made to the shepherds of the birth of Jesus Christ and the promise of peace that the first Christmas carol sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. This is the good decision that God has made toward you. That's what that phrase, goodwill toward men, means. The good decision of God is peace for you. And now the third stanza. Very often in hymns, the third stanza is the most interesting stanza. It is in Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that great song of John Newton, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. What a profound line is that. That John Newton, who had been convicted of his sins when he was on a slave ship, and it was grace of God that taught him to fear the terrible thing that he was involved in, and then the grace of God that resolved his fears. Now notice the third stanza of O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's very profound. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Notice, not just the shepherds now. His poem is expanding beyond the shepherds to human hearts. It's becoming universal. The blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. You know, this is very interesting. He doesn't shy away from the fact that his world and the world is in crisis. Human sin, think of the tremendous experience that he's gone through, watching his own country at war, and all the heartbreak and the harm that's been done, that people have done to each other. So he says, God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven, and no ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. And now the final stanza. O Holy Child of Bethlehem is now going to become very personal and direct. It's almost as if he plays the role of the evangelist now in the final stanza. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. He's asking for the healing of his own country. He's asking for the healing. He notice he doesn't say south or north in a country that's just gone through a war, but he's asking the Savior to cast out our sin, to disarm our sin, to take it away. What an amazing line in that carol. Cast out our sin and enter in. He's playing the role of the evangel, inviting us to ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives What a great song for us as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. And then it ends with praise. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. He notices at the very end of this carol that Jesus Christ wants to dwell in our hearts by faith so that we can know him. The gospel is personal. It's for us. It's for us to know. I'm struck with these themes that are here in this. They're biblical themes. They're profound. The contrast between darkness and everlasting light comes out at the very beginning of the carol and goes throughout the carol. The focus upon the mystery of Christ, who comes when we're not expecting him. Again, what an amazing insight into the reality of that we were not ready. St. Paul says, when the time was just right, Christ was born. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And as we saw when we finished this series that we've just been through in the Old Testament, the time is just right. The time was terrible. What an awkward time. It seems like this is a wrong time. The Romans control everything. They're a cruel and oppressive regime. They're going to be there for 400 years. The people are totally in disarray in terms of what they believe. And they're at war with each other theologically. Pharisees against Sadducees, against Essenes, against the people in Qumran. And the Herodians are there. Herod, not even a Jewish king, and yet he's the king of the Jews. He's a murderer. He's done all these terrible things. And yet that's the time Christ came. He came, and Paul says it was just the right time because the one who comes is a redeemer. But he comes by surprise, not when we expect him. Our Lord said that himself about the second coming too. He'll come like a thief in the night. And he came at the beginning like a thief in the night, not when we were ready for him. And Philip Brooks saw this. He focuses on this mystery. Notice that mortals are asleep and the wondrous gift is given and no ear may hear his coming. But in this world of sin, we still can receive him if we're meek. The dear Christ will enter in. And then he prays in the final stanza of this carol. How wonderful this carol prepares us for the Lord's Supper. He prays that we will experience the redemption of ourselves, that we'll experience the forgiveness of our own sins, that he'll cast out our sins, and that he'll enter in and abide with us. And we can know him. And we can come into his presence and share in that gift of forgiveness. So we have Isaiah 40 fulfilled. Sharon read for us that wonderful Isaiah passage. Comfort ye my people. It was the way Isaiah 40 begins. And then get into a high mountain, you herald of good tidings. And sing this good news. That the Lord is coming. And he's like a shepherd who will keep his sheep. And he'll tenderly gather those that are with young. And then what the angels sang to the shepherds. Again, fulfilled by this carol, fulfilled in the Lord's Supper. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And his name, Christ the Lord. He's a baby. You'll see him. It'll be a sign to you to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then the great song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill. This is the good decision of God toward you. God's love. That's what brings us to the Lord's table. Martin Luther had a strange sentence. He said, men will later hate their conversion if they're converted out of fear. So if you're converted because of fear, you'll later hate your conversion. But if you're converted because of love, if you're one to Christ because of his love, and that's what happens to these shepherds, that's what happens in Phillips Brooks' song. He sees that. It's the love this everlasting light that is the light of the love of Christ that breaks in, when that wins you, then you love your conversion. You welcome Jesus Christ to come into your lives. And that's what we are privileged now to share in the Lord's Supper together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful gift of your life given in behalf of us. We thank you that this light breaks in upon us by surprise. And it's a loving light. It's a light that finds us, that knows our names, and that wins us over, and then defeats our sins, and then enters in, so that we have fellowship with you. We have the privilege of knowing you and living in fellowship with you. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Today, we want to pray for the world. We live in a world like Philip Brooks did. It was a world that was in great stress. His own country was profoundly wounded, and he prayed for the healing of his nation in this simple carol. Lord, we pray for the healing of the nations today. We pray for people that are in great distress in various parts of the world, where there are ancient hatreds that are causing so much harm within nations and between nations. And Lord, we pray for our own country. We pray for the youth in this country, how we love them. We pray that they will discover your love and that your love will change their lives, give them everything to live for. We thank you, Lord, for young people in our country who are in harm's way now because they're defending us in a place like Afghanistan, in a place like Iraq, and throughout the world, our armed forces. We thank you for these young men and women who are the pride of our eyes. We pray for their protection too, especially during this Christmas time, when so many of them are lonely and away from their families who love them. And then we pray for older people who have families that maybe are a long ways away from where they live as well. And we ask you, Lord, to give us, each one of us, a sense of joy and of wonder at this marvelous gift of the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem of Judea so many years ago, and yet such a new and exciting event that it's new for us today. So, Lord, bless us. Bless each of us wherever we are in our lives and at the level of our need. And we'll thank you, especially this evening in this Vesper, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.